Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Well, did you hear about the, quote, blowout non-farm payroll report for September? I'm still hearing about it today. The mainstream financial media can't stop talking about how the jobs number blew away expectations. Now, the establishment survey claimed that there were 254,000 net new jobs created in September. 254,000 net new jobs, which is way higher than, I think the expectations were like 150. 254. Wow. Incredible. Of course, Wall Street cheered the surprise gain as absolute concrete evidence of a booming economy and labor market. Now, let me ask you a question. This is why you listen to my podcast. How many jobs do you think were actually created? Unadjusted. These are unadjusted numbers I'm going to give you. How many jobs were actually created from August to September? Okay, so here I'm going to give you the number. This is the unadjusted figure from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, not from Michael Pinto's basement, okay? There were 458,000 jobs lost in the private sector in September. Unadjusted. Meaning, regardless of the massive seasonal adjustment from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the fact is there were less people actually working in September than there were in August. Now, the BLS says there were 223,000 net new private sector jobs created in September. Private sector. Therefore, the data collectors at the Labor Department, which is the division that runs the Bureau of Labor Statistics, invented nearly 500,000 jobs for September in the private sector due to their birth-death model. And employment in government hiring continued its upward trend in September, 31,000 jobs. The government has added an average of an incredible 45,000 jobs each and every month over the past 12 months. And this is, in my opinion, election interference. 45,000 government jobs. Incredible. Every month. Trying to pad those numbers. Now, here's the problem. There's many problems, but here's one of the problems with these fictitious numbers. And I don't say fictitious because I'm a conspiracy theorist. I just gave you the numbers from the BLS. There's 458,000 jobs lost in the unadjusted figures. The Fed is charged with manipulating the most important signal in markets, which is the cost of money. That's what they're supposed to do. I mean, that's what I am told they're supposed to do. I don't think they should do that, but that's what they think they should do because we have a central bank and a fiat currency system. Therefore, the Federal Open Market Committee directly controls the cost of money on the overnight interbank lending rate and the supply of base money by edict without being elected, without having any accountability to the voter, and especially no accountability to the middle class that they are wiping out. And they are making these decisions on the most important signal a free market economy can have, if we have a free market economy, which is the cost of money. They're making these decisions in arrears and on faulty data based on assumptions from the Labor Department. I mean, when are we going to wake up, people, and understand? Let's just wake up and understand the Federal Reserve is destroying the purchasing power of our currency and creating massive asset bubbles and bailing out the Treasury by buying trillions of dollars in bonds, government bonds, that normally would have to find a buyer naturally, but they don't have to because the Fed can print money and buy them and just warehouse them on their balance sheet. Now, some more issues that I'm you know, forgive me, I'm not a Pollyanna. I'm not a Pollyanna. I've never been and I never will be. I'm a realist. This current rate cutting cycle began with the effective Fed funds rate at 5.3%. But the 10-year note, as I mentioned last week, had already anticipated Powell's well-telegraphed rate cuts and was trading at 3.6%, not over 5%, like it usually does in previous rate cutting cycles. I mean, Wall Street front ran the rate cuts. Therefore, outside of a recession, there is no room for bond yields to fall. And that's because we have an insolvent government. We have the promise of much more deficits and debt, regardless of who wins the White House. There's growing illiquidity in the bond market. And the cherry on this poop Sunday is the Fed is now pursuing inflation. Even though we haven't even won the battle of intractable inflation, and prices have surged. The price level has surged by 40, 50% in the last few years. And the rate of change is still much higher than 2%, which is their asinine target. Hence, the danger is for long yields, long duration treasury yields to spike rather than fall during this rate cutting cycle. That's what I predicted, and that's what's happening. In fact, the benchmark treasury rate has surged from 3.6% to 4.5% since Powell's panic 50 basis point rate cut on September the 18th. And interest rates have spiked across the yield curve. Two-year yields jumped from 3.5% to 4% during the same time frame. The salient issue here is that the Fed is cutting the Fed funds rate in an effort to force rates lower across the yield curve to bail out the Treasury and the banking system. That's what they always do. The Fed cuts rates and Treasury yields fall. That lowers borrowing costs for the government and bails out banks' assets. However, the exact opposite is happening now. Powell's plans are backfiring, and it's no surprise to us, me, my clients, and my listeners. So, speaking of U.S. insolvency, I'll put a little color on, a little more meat on the bones here. Deficits are over 6% of GDP in peacetime and outside of a recession, extremely, extremely high. That's never happened before. The debt-to-GDP ratio, the national debt, is 125%, the highest in history. And that is in a soft landing scenario. Our national debt is 720% of revenue. Rising carrying costs of mortgages is exactly what the most expensive housing market in history does not need. And that is why pending home sales are hovering at record lows in the past few months. Mortgage rates already fell along with bond yields in anticipation of the Fed's panic rate cuts. But pending home sales fell by 3% year over year in August, despite the sharp decline in mortgage rates. The average 30-year fixed rate mortgage jumped from 27 basis points on the Friday of the non-farm pay report. The average 30-year fixed rate mortgage jumped by 27 basis points on the very Friday of the non-farm payroll report. That rate is now 6.53%, which is 42 basis points higher than it was on September 17th, the day before the FOMC decided inflation was dead and that an oversized rate cut of 50 basis points was needed to ensure borrowing costs would fall. Rising rates across the yield curve are putting more pressure on the adjustable rate mortgage, known as the U.S. debt. The Treasury is so stupid. Let me explain that. The Treasury is so stupid that instead of locking in borrowing costs for decades, going out decades when rates were below 1%, instead, the government decided to shorten the duration of our holdings, meaning the U.S. has to roll over its debt much more frequently and at much higher interest rates. Isn't that nice? Isn't that so special? What geniuses we have in charge. I mean, even if I asked a five-year-old kindergartner, if you have $35 trillion in debt, $36 trillion in debt, and you can finance it at close to 0%, lock that in, or somewhere around there. I'm sure you couldn't do all of it because rates would rise, but wouldn't you try to, like, you know, lock that in, guarantee that you can borrow all that money for almost nothing? But no, we didn't do that. We shortened the duration. Now, instead the government has, what they've done is they've created an adjustable rate mortgage, and that means the U.S. has to roll over its debt much more frequently at much higher rates. That's the bottom line. Now, in addition to the dangerous adjustable rate mortgage on U.S. debt, 40% of small cap companies have to continuously issue new debt just to survive, just to stay in business, because they have no profits. So they're rolling over debt at much higher rates. And of course, banks' assets, which are primarily commercial mortgage-backed securities and residential mortgage-backed securities, are deteriorating as new mortgage rates rise. So by trying to declare victory on inflation when everybody knows it's not dead, what the Fed has done is caused faith in the bond market to fracture and has caused yields to rise, which is exactly how in the past the Fed has bailed out the economy. But of course, the exact opposite is happening now. This is why, while Pento Portfolio Strategies is long the market, no equity shorts, we've been that way since early 2023, after being short in 22, we are myopically focused on the credit markets for the early signs of distress there. And that will be our cue to sprint for the nearest emergency exit. Bear in mind, the recession has not been canceled, and asset prices remain in a dangerously overvalued state. In fact, the most overvalued condition ever. Having the goal and ability of profiting in both bull and bear markets is no longer a luxury because the downside is so tremendous. It has become absolutely necessary to secure a safe and stable retirement. And that is absolutely our goal here at PPS.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.